Santiago's Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Catherine Chacón, Director of Investor Relations. Following the presentation given by the President and the Vice President of Corporate Finance of the results of the second quarter of the year, we will proceed to a Q&A session. The questions we receive through the webcast will be read literally. Those connected to the English call, please send your questions through the chat option of the webcast. Lastly, those that wish to follow the slides in Spanish, given that they are in English by default, please download them from the webcast screen. Please remember to provide your name and company when you ask your questions, either through the audio or through the webcast. With you, Carlos Ignacio Gallego, President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning to you all, and welcome to the conference of results of the second quarter of Grupo Nutresa. To begin, we'd like to share with you some highlights of the last period, so I invite you to please look at slide number two. On slide two, you can see that for the second year in a row, Grupo Nutresa was chosen by Monitor Empresarial de Reputación Corporativa, Merco, as the second-best company to attract and retain talent in Colombia and the most attractive in the food sector of Colombia. This acknowledgment confirms the strength of the human talent of the business model of the group and its value within our corporate strategy. Now let's move on, please, to the next slide, slide three. And in terms of innovation, we'd like to share with you that Grupo Nutresa was chosen among the top 10 innovative companies of Colombia through ANDI and magazine Dinero. This acknowledgment also ratifies and commits us to innovation through our corporate sustainability model. Likewise, we'd like to share with you some innovations that we've made recently. Bennett is the new nutritional expert brand of Grupo Nutresa. We've opened this category. It's a new powdered beverage that offers all the necessary nutrients for balanced and wholesome being. This was recently launched in Colombia, but it's something that we'll be seeing soon in other markets of Grupo Nutresa. We're very happy about our initial figures with Bennett. And on the bottom of slide three, you can see two new launches under Touch. We see the baked snacks and infusions with natural ingredients that are free of additives. And they're great for healthy snacking, for convenience and nutrition. Also, when it comes to innovation of Nutresa, we're talking about 18.6% of our figure. This is very representative, and it really is a result of the work done not only in products, but also in innovation in processes and in business models. Please move to slide four. And here we can start discussing the sales, the commercial area, during the second quarter of 2017. We can see that Colombian sales reached 1,335 billion pesos, up 2.9%. And this is mainly explained by an increase of price, an average of 7%. Most of these prices were made the year before, not this year. We told you about this in our last conference that we're very prudent when it comes to our price variations. Also, this is the result of the change of our mixes through a higher value per kilogram. And here we're seeing a decrease of volume of 4.1%. In the past teleconference, we voluntarily told you how we dropped the volume of some of our products in pasta and crackers. So if we look at this, our total increase is basically of minus 0.2, 0.6. with a price change of 5.7. This decision that we took of reducing products of less added value is really a winner on a long-term basis, and it's good for a company with brands like Nutresa. It's also interesting to state, to underline that this month or this quarter had three fewer working days because of Holy Week. So in our case, here you can see in international sales that we grew 7.4% in terms of price, but our volume grew less. So here you can see the seasonality because of Holy Week. Looking at the lower dynamics of consumption that we saw in the semester in Colombia, we think that these are very good results. The business of chocolates, coffee, retail food display higher than average growths. Here you can see also the growths of, or best. If we really reduce all the volumes, it would really show a change of 0.4%. When it comes to crackers or biscuits, they're doing well, and their reduced volume is mainly because of removing the byproducts. Also in pasta, if we look at the item, we look at the volumes reach 0.9%. When it comes to cold cuts, which have a higher disbursement, these were hurt of 4.8% has to do with the dynamics of this category in the period. A good news is that ice cream has been increasing its total sales, especially during the first 2 months of the semester. But in conclusion, you can see that there is good dynamics in Colombia with consumption. It's really a good quarter. And you can say that the first, the very best month of this quarter is June. And really, July is showing very good results as well. When it comes to international sales, as we told you in prior teleconferences, we can see that after October 2016, we see that Venezuela is accounted for as financial instruments. So during this first quarter of 2017, we're not including Venezuela sales. And the result of this decision is seen mainly in the cold cuts business. So we can compare both years. We can see it with and without Venezuela. When we make this adjustment of the year, you can see there are sales for 269 million billion pesos, great growth in dollars of 7.4%. In pesos, it's 781 billion pesos, up 4.7%. We'd also like to highlight the good results outside of Colombia of our operations, but also the increase of exports. We display in the first quarter exports of 56 billion pesos, up 23% compared to the year before. And this is quite significant. And here we're building a very significant pillar of growth for the company. The cold cut business had great results in its operation in Panama, but it also grew because we had exports of fine cuts, biscuits, good dynamics as well, especially to in the U.S. And chocolates, we see a growth of 0.8%, but basically because of the lower sales of cocoa butter, because in Peru we've been growing local currency. Temlac, very good performance both in Chile and internationally, especially in Mexico. In coffee, a growth is great, 24.3%. It's the company that exports the most of Grupo Nutresa, mainly to the U.S. When it comes to retail food, it's a moderate growth because of the rainfalls in Central America, which hurt the business in the region. When we combine then all of the sales in Colombia and international, moving on to slide 5, you can see that total sales were 2,117 billion pesos, up 3.6%. If we exclude Venezuela, it would also grow 0.8%. And this is important to keep in mind. Unlike the first quarter, our total sales, including Venezuela, are still positive. So all of the businesses are displaying great performance. But if we remove the byproducts, our growth would not be 3-6, but 5. And pasta would also show something different. In the quarter, sales of innovation were 20.2%, which is still higher than the total weighted average of the year. So it's a quarter which is quite positive for us, and towards the end of the month improved even more and prepare us for the second half of the year. Now looking at slide 6, we can see the accumulated sales of the quarter or of the semester. You can see that for the first semester in Colombia, sales were 2,650 billion, growing 3.9%, moving from 3.6 in price and minus 3.6 in volume. And by excluding the sale of flours and byproducts, we're talking about 4.4 with volumes decreasing 1.5 and prices growing 6, as you can see. I would say that this is a figure that's quite close to what we anticipated. And when we look at the results of the business, there are good dynamics in biscuits, chocolates, retail food, and coffee. When it comes to the biscuits, if we exclude the byproducts, the growth is 7.6. In cold cuts, we have a lower growth because of the dynamics of consumption of this category. And in ice cream, we have the first quarter, which was quite complicated, and the second quarter, which was good. So that minus 7.2 moved from minus 15. So it was good improvement. When it comes to international sales on slide 6, you can see that the accumulated sales reach 5.5%, reaching $516 million. And in pesos, 1,509 billion pesos, dropping 1.3% because of the revaluation in one of the quarters, but it's quite positive, this performance that we can see in local currencies. We see performances that are very good. Exports from Colombia, if you consider the entire semester, grew 21.5%, and 54% of those exports or to the States. I'd like to highlight here the Temeluk in Chile and in Mexico, which displayed a very satisfactory performance in cold cuts. In Panama, and exporting from Colombia did well. In coffee, which was 12.8, leveraged on the exports made to the States. When you combine the sales of Colombia and international on slide 7, you can see total sales of the quarter of 4,159 billion pesos, up 2%. At the end of the first quarter, the figure was much lower, and with significant growths in the different businesses. Look at Temeluk, it moved from 0.7%, minus 0.7%, but both in Chile and in Mexico, the operations now are showing positive performance. And for pasta, You can see the accumulation of the first queue that was quite complex, but the second queue is showing recoveries. Total sales of innovation are 18%, which I discussed on the highlights at the beginning of this presentation. If we look at slide 8, you can see sales by region. In Colombia, it stands out with 63.7% of sales. The second part is Central America with 9.3%. It decreases a bit because some countries in Central America had had devaluations that didn't have before. And then third and fourth place are tied between the States and Chile with 1.8%. Also, I'd like to highlight that Venezuela appears with 0%. As we announced before, there's no sale here related to Venezuela, and we believe, as we announced before, that this facilitates the valuation of the company and it provides transparency to the sales of the company. Moving on to slide 9, you can see the last market share. You can see that there's a drop of 1.6%. Here, 10 look and chocolates is quite positive, but especially when it comes to biscuits and cold cuts, we have drops in market share. When it comes to the objectives of Grupo Nutresa, our core objective is to increase value and to be more profitable, but another objective relates to market share. To reach these two objectives, there are moments in which you look at the market share to leverage the profitability. We announced this. It, of course, it doesn't mean that we are happy with this, but we do believe that that's what market share is, to leverage the company entirely. And we're making plans of each of the references to assume more positions, which are to lead. But when it comes to the economy, there are some migrations towards private brands or with lower values, so we believed that we can recover these positions. It's also important to keep in mind that this has to do with Nielsen sources in which we see that these are not recorded. Moving on to topics that have to do with the profitability and raw materials and their performance, if we move on to slide 10, you can see in second quarter of 2017, the commodities index is downtrend, showing a downtrend. You can see oils and sugar, but in some cases, and in some countries like Colombia, these decreases of international prices are not seen in the Colombian pesos because of the tariffs, local tariffs. What we see overall is a trend that's relatively positive when it comes to commodities. The component that has the highest weight are packaging materials, which is 14.3% of total. And the other three are coffee with 9.5% and pork with 6.9%. At Grupo Nutresa, we handle a strategy of something solid in which we coordinate everything has to do with physical, the positions, make it feasible, and we also make some trends on a long-term basis with providers that give us stability. So in terms of raw materials, I would say that this was a favorable quarter, and now I'd like to look at these raw materials from here on. To disclose this type of information on profitability, Jose Domingo Penagos will speak. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning to everyone. I'd like to discuss profitability, so let's move to slide 11. Here you can see in the second quarter of this year, for the entire group, we can look at each business model. First, let's look at the margin, 12.4%, which is higher to the same period of the year before, which was 12.1%. Some of you even highlighted this in your reports for the commercial challenge. I think it's a good margin. It's in the good range. And I'd like to highlight also is growth, 8.4%, which is higher to the one we had in the prior quarter, with a group of businesses. In terms of growth, I'd like to look at biscuits, look at chocolate, almost 66%, even ice cream, 35%. This generates the EBITDA for the period. It's a good group of businesses which display good growth in the EBITDA generally. I'd like to give you some comments, general comments, when it comes to the commodities. Carlos Ignacio already discussed this. We have good performance, especially with hedges. But excluding pork, everything is showing very good performance, and our hedges are showing very good performance. So I think the profitability levels really provide us an expansion of a gross margin. And second is the control of expenses, especially of administrative expenses and sales expenses. However, in the commercial area, we're investing in the market, and we're in an economic cycle in which we have to keep in mind all the categories. So this is overall. So now let's look at each business. Let's start with cold cuts. It's on the lower part of the range, but it's doing well, especially with its raw materials, forks. We can see growth of double digits of these raw materials, even close to 20%, which is quite relevant in the structure of the costs. And after that challenge, you can see biscuits as well, 12%. It's on the lower part of the range, but it's got a good commercial dynamics, as I said before. All of its strategy to focus on value-added products has had good results so far and a good margin. Chocolates, almost 13%, 12.9%. Everything that we've mentioned with chocolates in the past, you can add to its good cocoa performance, and this gives good profitability levels. The same in the same period last year, it was at 8%, so I think it's showing great results when it comes to the EBITDA in proportion and in growth. Tres Montes is 14.1%, the result of the entire adjustment of everything that we made last year, and in Chile, even in Mexico. This is a great formula for such an important EBITDA. It's on the top of the range. Coffee, it continues showing great dynamics and results if we combine the positive commercial dynamics that it shows and the decrease of the value of some of its raw materials. In retail food, similar to what we saw in the prior period, we see an EBITDA margin of 12.8% in Colombia. It's been basically hit a bit because of the raw material prices and what's happened with the rains in Central America. So it's had a decrease of 1.8%, but we ratified that our main purpose here is to defend the transactions during this period. And that's why the activity is quite moderate. In ice cream, although the margin is below the proper level of this, it is higher than what's seen before, and you can see in this quarter in particular, compared to the prior quarter, we look at the growth, 35.2%. And pasta is quite stable in terms of margin of value. It's grown 2.3%. That's when it comes to each of the businesses of each business. Moving on to slide 12, you can see the EBITDA of each of the units. We have an EBITDA of the entire group for Cold Guts of 12.3%. It's above what's seen during prior semesters, excluding ice cream. We have all the businesses within the range. And even again, we see a significant growth. I think it's not worth looking at each business because we can see some common denominators, which were discussed already. But I would say again that overall, when it comes to the Cold Cuts, because of the pork, every business unit shows great performance in the semester. And that's why we can provide an EBITDA of 527 billion pesos, up 2.7%. That's the EBITDA that we see on slide 12. Now let's look at slide 13. Again, we have two sections, the operating, which has a great EBITDA that we explained, and the operating profit. Here we can see that in the semester, you can compare it with the second half of last year, which included Venezuela. That's why our revenues grew 0.8%. When we look at the same base with Venezuela and without it, that's where you can see the difference. And in the cost where we have 1.7%, you can see an expansion of the gross margin of 150 basic points, which have to do with the productivity plans of the organization. Also, we have an expense control, especially administration, that dropped 1.7%. We're very controlled also in sales, production expenses. And when it comes to sales expenses, which grew 7.6%, but really it dropped from 27 to 6. So again, we're investing in the markets because of the economic cycle. And we think that everything has to do with profitability. It shows the final results that we are reporting to you today. Really, the equation of profitability has been good. Also, we see exchange differences that are negative compared to the prior half of 2016. Let's remember that we have included here our suppliers and other operating expenses. We have recoveries from insurance and also the EBITDA that I told you of 262 billion pesos, which is above 30 basic points of last year and growing 27.3%. In the post-operating, here we can see a growth of 0.2% in financial expenses. This is a result of a debt strategy, and later on I will be explaining to you a bit more. We negotiated about 50% of the debt in this semester, and we managed great rates of the profile and the cost, and this will be capitalized in our cash flow. And here we see the first growth of the financial expenses of 4.2. Also, we can see revenues from the semester. The most important revenue here is that from Argos in the first semester, and we'll see in the financial statements ahead about this. And when it comes to the operating profit, you can see everything has to do with exchange differences, has a big effect. Also, the income tax, the deferred tax, also you can see the effect on the column. and also the fiscal benefits that we have discussed in prior talks show good performance and also a net result of 96.5%, which has an EBITDA of 3.7%. That's when it comes to the quarter that was shown. Now let's move to slide 14. Here we see the accumulated result, which shows a decrease of 1.1%, and this has to do with Venezuela again. And if we exclude Venezuela, we would be growing 2%. And also the costs or expenses have dropped because of the improved EBITDA margin of 50 basis points, which is a similar performance. Also, we see a good discipline in our lower expenses. And when it comes to the operational part, we have contributions to some projects in Abilene in the States, which has expenses that are capitalized in this account. In the post-operating part, we have the financial expenses of 9.8%, which we already discussed with the quarter. And also, as we anticipated, we have the dividends of Sudan Argos. So really this gathers the effect of both quarters with similar performance, and we have a net profit of 237,000 million pesos. And lastly, let's look at the debt, the consolidated net debt that has to do with the cash flow of the organization. Moving on to slide 15, you can see the net debt. Let me show you the indicator, 2.98 times in the last quarter, and this quarter we have 2.83, which goes hand in hand with our objectives, and again with the level that we ended in December 2016. The average rate, because of the renegotiation of the debt, is at 8.1%, and last year in December it was at 9.5%. Here you can see the significant reduction because of the renegotiation and decrease of the reference rates in the semester. That has to do with the debt. Good coverage, good generation. Lastly, I'd like to share with you the CapEx. Remember, we have to date 50%. We are at 91,000 million pesos of execution, with a very proper performance this year. I would say that I would ratify that our budget of CapEx of the year is doing well. With this, we end the section of profitability. Now let's listen to Carlos Ignacio, who will share with us the outlook for 2017. There's another event of the semester, and also we were rated by Fitch Ratings, and again, we were given a triple A for the bonds of Colombia. I just wanted to mention this rating. Thank you, Jose Domingo. When it comes to outlook, I'd like to mention that overall, in all the countries where we operate, we're seeing lower inflation, and it's very important in Colombia, for instance, where we ended the first half of the year with very low levels. Really, the adjustment of the inflation was quick, and we believe that the rest of the year will be quite stable. Also, we see lower financing rates. So overall, we have good commercial dynamics for the rest of the year. As we told you, the first month of the second quarter was a great month. Today, we're ending July. I think it's going to be even better than June. And with this commercial dynamic in Colombia and overseas, we have an intense activities in innovation and categories. So I think that overall, commercially, we're doing well. In terms of commodities, we see some mobility. I think some prices will be bouncing up. But when it comes to our inventories, I think that this will allow us to have relative stability in the consumption costs. This added to the internal control, our supplies, our marketing, the arrival launches to different markets will help us reach good profitability levels according to what we have desired. So I would say they have good commercial dynamics, some commodities that will be bouncing up a bit in their price, and this will be reflected in the consumption because of this coverage of the strategies that we have. And combined with this, I'd say that we will be reaching the profitability levels that we have set forth by 2020 with 12 and 14%. So now let's begin the Q&A session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. So this begins our Q&A session. We'd like to remind you that we have the option of chat on the webcast to receive your comments and questions, and we'll be reading literally and in the order that we receive them. So let's begin with the questions that we received in the conference. Thank you for your attention. Now let's begin the Q&A session. As all of those that have a question, please press star followed by one on your phone. If you're using a speaker, please pick up the phone before you dial. Again, if you have a question, press star followed by one on your phone. Our first question is Andres Soto, from Andres Soto. Thank you, Carlos, Ignacio, Domingo, and Catherine, for your presentation. My first question has to do with the improved commercial dynamics observed in Colombia in June and July. I'd like to understand, in this context, are you expecting a better performance in the second half of the year? And if so, if the priority of the company will be to continue improving its profitability or to recover the market share it lost in the first half of the year? Thank you, Andres, for your question. As I mentioned before, Grupo Nutresa, the core purpose is to increase its value, but also to have a profitable growth, but also that of its market share. The second half of the year, you can say that drop of the market share that was seen in the first quarter, it really was something that we saw coming since the end of last year. If you remember, the third quarter in Colombia last year in Colombia was hit by the paralysis of the transportation sector. And there are some sales in that quarter that had difficulties. So I believe that we'll have two things. First, a third quarter in which you do not see problems like the transportation sector. And second, that the total inflation in Colombia will be lower, and therefore it will provide more cash flow for the consumers. So that's why we've been active in the market, working with different channels, because we want Grupo Nutresa to capture that money that's in the pockets of the consumers. So I believe we will continue being prudent with our prices. Even in some references, we've been reducing prices, and as the desired profitability is found, we are willing, if convenient, to reduce our prices. So again, we're not going to let go of our objectives. We want to improve our profitability, but also we will be gaining our market share in different markets. We think that
the second half of the year will be better than the first, and we'll be working on this hard, Andres. Perfect, thank you. And specifically, when it comes to cold cuts, there are several factors that are hurting it, yes. But in Colombia, how do you see this? With the context that we have and with the current profitability levels in cold cuts, how do you see it for the next half of the year? To recover the market share, you have to have some more attractive factors, especially for your distribution. I believe that the fact that Grupo Nutresa has a portfolio of categories that allows it to make sustainable growths in time. In fact, we've seen businesses like chocolate, in which for some time we had to support below the corridor we want, and also with Tres Montes Lucchetti and some transformations we've made. So we can say that we need both. I believe that while the pressure of the costs, especially because of the cold cuts is going to be high, we will be working hard in prices, and we're going to try to recover our position in the market. And we'll also try to meet the productivity levels that we need, because remember, we're not only focused on price, but also we need to have to be leaders, and innovation in that category in cold cuts is very important. So we have to stand out with more of an offer with value. It's got to be higher in any market. So it's a category in which we will be very active. So our assessment is not only on a short-term basis. The thing is, the idea that the group must reach the levels it desires, and as such, cold cuts is really a category that provides a lot of value. Although right now it's on a lower range of the EBITDA, we will continue to seek full terms. Thank you, Andres, for your questions. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We have Sergio Matsumoto from Citigroup. Yes, good morning. My question is, what do you expect the EBITDA margin for 2017? And when it comes to the expansion of the margin in the quarter, can you stand out what's sustainable and not recurrent? Yes, Sergio. You are aware that we cannot provide you some information per quarter, but we can say that we are projecting to end the quarter within the quarter promised or desired by Grupo Nutresa for its mega. With regards to the efforts, which are sustainable and not, I would say that those results are shown because of the many capabilities that Grupo Nutresa has. That's why we're talking not only about the commodities, which is something particular, and as you are aware that it's very common to have some commodities go up and others go down in price. So if we have the proper inventories, the impact will have a lower risk for Grupo Nutresa, but that's only one side of the story. When it comes to productivity, we've been very active in global supply also. We also use different channels, geographies, not only to increase but also decrease our prices. And we make different analysis of scenarios to take different decisions. We're working on making more returns of investments. And when it comes to the go-to-market of different categories, we're making a huge effort with ice cream. So Everything that has to do with productivity that I mentioned are things that are that you see in time. It's not something that you do for a specific problem. These are things that are implemented and allow the group in a turbulent setting like the ones that emerging countries face will show the results that we've been showing in past years and that we hope to show in the future. Thank you. But now that you mention the ice cream, let me ask you, was there a change in the strategy when it comes, when you discussed prices, you talked about the go-to-market. Why did you seek this increase of price in this quarter and not in prior quarters? No, said Hugh, the prices that we see in ice cream have come from increases made last year. What we see there is a reflect of increases made the year before. Like in all businesses, there are some variations of the mix of sales, but we have not increased prices this year. We believe that this is a very sensitive category, and if you touch prices there, immediately you have lower volumes. So what we've been doing there is a different revision. We're looking at the channels, the offer of the value. We're looking at the brand itself. We're launching, making some launches so consumers may have more facilities to access ice cream. But really, what last year, when we looked at prices, that's we had the hit in volumes, and that's what we're saying now. That in this last quarter, we've had some recovery in sales, and we aspire for the rest of the year to fill out that gap. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for your answer. Thank you, Sadie. We have Jairo Agudelo from Bancolombia. He has a question. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio, Jose Domingo, and Catherine. I have two questions. Please tell us, what is your viewpoint on a short-term basis? Because last year you make an innovation of all of your points of sale, your layout. You made some changes on your menu, and you're launching new types of products. I'd like to know how the market has reacted to this. And second question, and that, what strategies do you have to control a bit that growth of price of raw materials? Because that, of course, has had a negative impact on this division. Thank you. Thank you, Heido, for your questions. I would begin by saying that what we're showing for retail food is a combination mainly of three main activities. One is the ice cream in Dominican Republic and some islands in the Caribbean, that in Central America with Pook's ice cream, and the acquisition that we made in Colombia of Grupo El Corral, which is not only Burgers El Corral, but other brands like El Corral, Papayons, and others. So when you look at the results, you're looking at the combination of all of these three. In terms of the shops, the ice cream shops, I would say that Bon is doing well. It's quite strong. It's growing. In terms of profitability, it's way above. It's really sound. When we talked about the international sales, we've been hurt a bit in Central America because of the rains. But really, it's a strong brand, and it's really strong in the region. But it's been hit because of the rainfalls over the historical levels. And also it's been hit because people don't move, don't go out so much. In Colombia, instead, we have like a combination of everything. As Jose Domingo said before, we have focused on serving in Colombia transactions. So that's why we have not transferred to the consumer. What we've been having to pay more, especially with the pork, and also because of the high inflation of last year, we had to increase our salaries. And also, some of the leases we have are tied to inflation. So to protect the transactions, we have not transferred this to these values to the consumer. When it comes to strategies, I'd say first, before increasing prices, we've been concerned to look at the entry lines where you can facilitate for the consumer to taste our new products, to compare, to fall in love with our brands, and then buy. Also, we have the internal productivity strategies. So remember, price is not the only thing we focus on, but also for mass consumption products, we have to look at productivity and returns and controls of expenses are also important. Also, in the prior talk, we talked about opening 34 new points of sale this year, but also we've been closing those that are not feasible. We've been improving the mix of all of these points of sale. When it comes to El Corral Burgers, we focus mainly in the first region of Antioquia, and the result has been good. I mean, the sales of the points, of the renovated points of sales of this burger place has grown way above others, and that shows that our strategy of renovation has been profitable. It has been proper and will be part of our plans. It's normal, and it's included in the budgets of our investments. So when it comes to retail food, what you see is the blend of all this and the efforts made for productivity and to reach the consumer will be very significant. The arriving to the consumer entails using IT and using the smartphones and applications. And this will be a strategy that we'll be using for the second half of the year. So again, we've given importance to the transactions and profitability while the demand was pushed so that we can then reach our better levels. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. And if you allow me to ask you also, let's look at the debt, the reprofiling that you talked about. Could you tell us what was the average interest rate and what was the time frame for this? Yes, of course. As I told you before, we're talking about 50% of the debt was renegotiated in the semester. And the optimization of the interest rate was from 9% in December to 8.1% today. So we're talking about 150 basic points used in that rate and cost. And also we have a mean of a duration of 3 years. It was more on a short-term basis, moving it towards a medium basis. But we're talking about 150 basic points in terms of cost. Okay, thank you so much for your answers. Thank you, Haido, as well. Next, Catherine Chacon. So we have a question that we received, as we have mentioned,
We're going to read it first in English. We'll be paraphrasing it in Spanish for our guests. The question says, Pat, what are you working on that will help you improve? How much is the focus in ROC, in sales, market share, etc.? In Spanish, it says, in projects, what projects are you working to improve your ROI? How important is it in your sales, market share, etc.? So Jose Domingo Penagos will answer. Let's begin by the end of the question. The ROC, it's very important when you balance all the variables that we've mentioned. Market share, it's been growing profitably. So it's really to close the equation, keeping in mind all of these variables. Overall, I would say that we've got four chapters that we're working on to improve our returns. One is a sustained growth. We've been working a lot on innovation. You saw the innovation of the percentages of the group. Also, we're looking at the different categories of the different geographies. We're talking about different alternative channels used by the group, such as key alternative channels that we'll discuss ahead. As you can see in the period's result, we look at margins as well, and these were reached mainly through the raw materials, everything has to do with the hedges, the commodities, productivity. We work hard on the efficiency of the group. Marketing expenses, which is key for these types of companies, our marketing is profitable. Everything that we seek for is to reach higher profitability. And the other variable has to do with distribution. We reached 1.2 million points throughout the region. So the idea is that distribution is key for us. So then everything has to do with cash flow, working capital. So with CapEx, we work with discipline, best investments, to use our best installed capacity. We have the different plants of the group, an assignment of capital that competes with the returns, provided that the prior two chapters are met. And lastly, working capital, and overall, we have an efficient account receivable of 35 days, and that's basically because of the proportion we have in which the little stores we sell right away. So basically, we're looking at inventories, suppliers. So it's not just one thing, one matter. There are different chapters, and for each chapter, we have an ongoing follow-up so that we can have better returns. Perfect. Thank you. Now let's look at the other questions that we have from the audio. Thank you. We have Maria Veleste from Porvenir. Good morning. Thank you for this conference. I have two questions. One, could you give us a follow-up of the market share? You were telling us, but really I'd like to understand what was really the purpose of this market share drop, and what can we expect with the market share topics, especially for the second half of the year? And second, I'd like to know if you have any concern because of the Aftosa breakout and how this can hurt your cold cut business. Thank you for your question. I'd like to begin to answer the second question on the Aftosa. The first thing I'd like to say, so that those that are listening to us, Aftosa is not a zoonosis. Zoonosis is a disease of the animals that can be transmitted to human beings.
I mean Aptos, is exclusively a disease among animals, especially those that have paws. And it was present many years in Colombia. It's controlled mainly through a proper vaccination of the animals. And the countries, some countries have Aptos and don't have a good control. There are others that have good control and are almost free, Aptos free. And that's the level that Colombia recently reached and allowed it to export cold meat to many countries, unfortunately. And we think because of the pressure there is in the frontier between Colombia and Venezuela, and due to what's happening in Venezuela that's not controlling its countryside, and seeing that an animal is sold in Colombia almost seven times the price than what it is sold in Venezuela, it's hard to control, and probably that led to have confirmed Aptos breakouts. And that's why in Colombia we have to do some quarantine to liberate those areas. And we have to be more demanding, especially in the frontier between both countries, to increase the balance. So first, Aptos is only a disease for animals. It does not affect human beings. An animal, when it's got the disease, it has pain when it eats, so the animal is more malnourished and it can die. But it never makes human beings sick. Obviously, this type of disease hurts exports but this is just beginning in Colombia. And for Grupo Nutresa, because I told you that we've made some exports. So what will happen probably? Those exports will suffer because there are some countries that will immediately close their frontier. Not all do. There are some countries that have a criteria that say that Aptos does not hurt human beings, so there's no problem. And so perhaps some countries will close, but sure, this will hurt first exports. Grupo Nutresa's most affectation could be something that won't surpass $4 million in exports of meat. So it's something small for the size of the group. However, we have to keep in mind that given that this will hurt exports, there can be cattle in Colombia that will make the internal price vary. So the final effect could be really relatively neutral, especially after the quarantines. We will have cattle that won't be easy to export as much as it would be before. So there could be lower revenues, but also there could be a drop in price. We believe firmly that Colombia must improve its internal control, especially in the frontier with Venezuela. And because of the availability of land and the climate of Colombia, this is something that everybody that's involved, we must recover. It was a window that was opened by Colombia to grow and to create revenues, and that Colombia should recover. So we believe that this is the main impact. It's very important to keep in mind this information because of misinformation. This could hurt our cold cuts. It could happen. But we think that when it comes to the guild and the government, there could be campaigns to disclose. And people should understand that this topic has to do with only diseases of animals. It does not affect human beings and should not hurt at all consumption. Perhaps on a short-term basis, something will happen, but I'd like to clarify that Colombia is has been Aptos free for decades, and we've got to go back to those levels.
that to answer your Atto's question. When it comes to market share, what I said before is that when the consumer is exposed to having less pocket money, the consumer goes to lower value brands, and of course that makes us lose our market share. I also pointed out that the sales through some channels is not doing that well. So it really depends of each category. We believe that market share, like cold cuts, are great in these channels, and we're fiercely competing with the competition. And when we can innovate and set ourselves apart, it's harder for the lower price competitors to gain our market. Also, we have other products in which we can make a balance. We have to see what it costs to be playing in Colombia and outside of Colombia. We have areas in Central America where we are, for instance, leaders in biscuits. So if we look at the profitability of the marketing dollars that we're investing, we have to study that well. But obviously, we don't like to lose market share. It's a cultural thing, as I told you before, and we're defending those points of sale, and we're trying to keep them as high as possible and to earn through all of the channels, not only those biscuits. So that's Maria, a summary to your questions. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio, for your answers. Thank you. Our next question is from Felipe from Scotiabank. Good morning, Carlos, Jose, and Catherine. Thank you for the Q&A session. Most of the question, no, your investments made in, how long do you think that you will be reaching the levels that are higher than those seen in the first quarters of last year, for instance? That could give us an idea to model what will happen afterwards. And also, can you talk about the exports? You said that they grew 32%, which is quite high. The base obviously is quite slow. Can you give us more information about the exports, perhaps? What are the margins of those exports and the different products and segments and how they're doing? Let me answer your first question. When it comes to marketing expenses, the first quarter was great. It was extraordinary. It really depends if we will change things. It really depends on the cycle. We believe that we'll have a better second half of the year, so we'll be improving, surely, our investments in the market. But it really depends on the commercial dynamics. I'd say that overall, we ended last year, and in this quarter is more particular. I'd say we're going to be doing very well in the market share for the rest of the year. And when it comes to exports, Felipe, we have great dynamics. The accumulated has grown. And here I can give you more visibility. The businesses that export the most of Grupo Nutresa is coffee, chocolates, and biscuits. The largest is coffee. Almost 60% of the total exports of the group. And I would say that chocolates and biscuits represent the 40% remaining. Exports of cold biscuits are just beginning. That's why the affectation is quite low, as I said in the prior question that I was answering. So that's where we stand. We're just beginning with that. Something that's important when it comes
to 54% of our exports are to the States. That's something very important for us. Other markets of interest are Ecuador, which is second, Mexico third, Puerto Rico, which is fourth, and Japan is fifth. We have sales to many other countries, which are made more on an exploratory basis. But the idea is that this dynamic will be quite positive. Last year, we were asked many times, why Colombia, with an exchange rate that's so good, compared to 2 years ago, our exports didn't grow. And the answer was that the customers didn't wait for us, but we had to know the customer to provide solutions for them. They're very different to Colombian consumers. We have to study them more. We took the time to study them, but these figures are quite good, and we believe that these businesses will continue receiving that growth. In terms of profitability, we don't have marginal exports. We demand the same range from 12 to 14% of returns. But what I can anticipate is that many times it's above the Colombian market. So that's the movement that we make. We have a company in the free trade zone, not only to export, but also import goods competitively. And here we're only talking about exports from Colombia. Remember, we also make exports from the other countries, Chile, Costa Rica, and Mexico. And soon we'll be making exports from the U.S. So that's, Felipe, our vision in terms of exports from Colombia. Can I ask you a last question regarding the discussion of the debt? You had an exposure that was relatively high to floating items. How does this change with the renegotiation that was made? Yes, Felipe, I can give you more details on this, on the type of rate. We had about 31% exposures to ABR, and I believe 16-17%. So it's quite similar with the renegotiation. What we did was capitalize a market opportunity, and this includes, but when it comes to type of debt, it's really quite similar. Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Felipe, for your questions. Thank you. We have a question from Credit Corp. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your presentation. I have three questions. One has to do with taxes. I'd like to know more. If I'm not wrong, the tax last year, this year in Colombia, is 40%. Please explain to us that decrease. Carlos, I'd like to remind you that when it comes to taxes, we have a basket that reflects the different geographies where we operate, and you can see movements in different countries. Indeed, we have capitalized benefits, as we've explained in other talks, to have some of our companies with legal stability, and that's something we capitalize, and that's reflected in this. And also, I'd like to say that there's a tax reform, and that has given us some benefits that we've capitalized from throughout this semester. So these are the effects that lead us to optimize significantly our income tax. And another question, when it comes to the prices in Colombia, is there an increase of price by the end of 2017, or when will you start to transfer to the consumer the IVA 19%? Carlos, in the last talk we had where we extensively talked about this, we said that that our decision was not to transfer to the consumer the higher price. The idea was to make adjustments. Also, when we look at the reference, the SKUs that Grupo Nutresa sells in Colombia, 58% of these were with a 16% IVA, which climbed to 19%. So there is a significant percentage that was not affected by the tax reform. We do not foresee to touch prices for the rest of this year. We believe that this year is more to focus more on productivity than on price. As I said before, there are cases in which profitability and changes that you can see will give way if profitability allows it. We are even willing to drop prices because we're interested in dynamics. When we talk about how to reach the mega of Grupo Nutresa, we've always said that we should provide consumers the best ratio between price and the value received. So we'll be focusing on productivity, on reaching the best, reaching best products for our consumers. But we are not thinking about touching prices now significantly. We do want to sell more. We want to participate in more categories and to launch categories that consumers are willing to pay more for. But the idea is not to focus only on price. Okay, last question has to do with retail food and the 12.8% margin. This is lower margin than in other quarters. Is this because of what's happened in Colombia or overseas? I would say both, Carlos. When it comes to the economic cycle in Colombia, this has an impact of the El Corral and also the rainfalls in Central America. Both of these have hurt our products. And, of course, the capability of the business, obviously, to absorb the fixed costs has been hurt. So I'd say that these two things, what's happened in Colombia and also the rainfalls in Central America. And another last question, please. The ROC, could you give us a guidance, now that you have a mega for your sales in 2020, have you calculated a ROI? Do you have an objective and towards what levels? Carlos, our mega is a big challenge. At Grupo Nutresa, we have a 13% ROIC ahead. And for that, we have to move all of the things that Jose Domingo mentioned. That's something in the future. And it's done gradually. But we can't change our megas year by year. Really, it combines many efforts. But let me discuss something, because it was asked also before. One of the best things about Grupo Nutresa that works in emerging markets is our growth. We're not going to renounce to our growth just to show a pretty figure. Really, Roy, we have been good in acquisitions. On a short-term basis, it does provide value. And we look at the weighted value, what you receive overall in your reports, it's 8.1, but that includes acquisitions. So our challenge is soon to reach the area of creating value. But really, we want to continue growing. We are in emerging countries that have consumptions per capita that are below the global average, and that growth is key. And I would be wrong if I want to only improve on a short-term basis my ROI. So we'll be really chasing that dream. Thank you so much for answering all of my questions. Thank you. Danielle Fabriola from BTG. Good morning, and thank you for your talk. I have a simple question on hedges. Looking at the low prices today in certain commodities, I'd like to know if the hedging strategy will be modified, will you expand it in time, and what methods do you use, and what's the average cost of the strategy? Daniel, I could say that now we're working on 2018. In 2017, we are 75% covered, and looking at the current commodity prices, we see some rebounds in the market that confirm that this strategy is something that we'll continue using. In terms of costs, we always seek a balance in profitability. All the costs of the commodities have to do with the operating margins, and that it's got to have a net effect on our profitability. But as you can see on the EBITDA margin, there's a good result of all the methods that we're using, and I can tell you that now we're working on 2018. It's not only 2017 that we're looking at. Now we're working on our strategy involves 2018. And a follow-up question, when it comes to the debt, where can you see the effect of the 120 basic points less on the income statement? When can you see that impact? Indeed, we have that already. So for the second half of the year, you can see the impacts, and we will capitalize this in 2018. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Now let's listen to Catherine Chacon. Okay, with this, we end the teleconference of the results of the second quarter of 2017. We'd like to thank you all for attending and having interest in Grupo Nutresa. Again, if you have any questions, please contact our Office of the Relations with Investors. Have a nice week. Thank you. Thank you for attending this teleconference.